My next guest proves there really is such a thing as serendipity, which is basically what happens when you come across something of value without expecting you're going to find it. Last month, my wife and I were at Serenby, the planned living community in South Fulton County, where I was working on a story you may have heard here 3 weeks ago about the Serenby Playhouse. Strolling through the small section of shops in the center of town, we wandered into a photography gallery. The photographs on display were completely arresting, and so was the man we met there who took them. He is Greg Newington, an Australian who had a 38-year career as a photojournalist for major newspapers across Australia and the Middle East. He was the photo editor of Australia's national daily, The Australian, among many credits on his resume. And Greg worked extensively as a photographer in some of the world's most dangerous hotspots. As we talked, he told us that as an Australian transplanted to Georgia, he had a unique opportunity to see the state for an assignment. 4 years ago, he was hired by the Association of County Commissioners of Georgia to photograph all 159 county courthouses in the state. Well, that was excuse enough for me to invite him to sit down to talk about that project and about highlights of the rest of his career. By the way, if you're near a computer, I suggest that as you listen to our conversation, you go to gpb.org two-way street, where you'll find a link to his website so you can look at some of Greg's pictures as we discuss them. We started with the courthouse project.
It was an amazing experience. I found myself driving around Georgia to all 159 counties, sometimes three or four times, sometimes just to research the courthouses themselves, other times to actually photograph them. And one of the things that I found, which was so consistent throughout the whole journey, was the famous hospitality that Southerners are renowned for. I learned a lot about back roads, and I learned a lot about little towns that were so extraordinarily hidden away, and yet they were the center, the epicenter of the area. The courthouses and the sense of community and the sense of pride in these little towns was a constant. So it was pretty amazing. Also, I think quite a few people were surprised to find an Australian turn up in their little town. And I had some very, very, very funny experiences. Misunderstandings were quite funny. I was photographing, and I'm going to change the names and places here to protect the innocent, which is basically me. But I was at a place doing a night shot, and I was lucky enough to have the maintenance man with me who had helped me by changing some of the bulbs, light bulbs that were out on the clock. And we were standing waiting for the light, and it was a very, very hot Georgia evening. And just waiting for the sun to get down a bit more, and insects everywhere, and, you know, very, very hot. Camera on a tripod, just chatting with this lovely gentleman, elderly gentleman. And I said to him, what's your passion? What do you love to do around here? And he said, well, my passion is fashion. And I looked at him, and I thought, oh, okay. I said, well, that's great. You know, as he stood there in his overalls and his baseball cap, I said, who do you like? Ralph Lauren, Armani, John Deere? You know, who are your fashion guys? And he said, fashion guys? I like to go fashion with my neighbors and my son and my wife. And because I'm even more stupid than I can be at times, I said, oh, you mean fishing? And of course, he looked at me as if to say, well, what else could I possibly have meant? Things like this, and there's an innocence and a kindness that in the small town, I found the culture shock would be the fact that it's so uncomplicated.
How did this experience change your thinking about photography?
Well, my background, as we just mentioned, is a newspaper photographer. And as a newspaper photographer, you might walk into the office on the police rounds shift at 4 a.m., and by 11 o'clock in the morning, for example, be on a plane to Fiji. One morning I walked in, looked at the diary. It was 7 o'clock in the morning. I looked at the diary at 9 o'clock. I was photographing Nelson Mandela. You just don't know what is coming up. So with the architectural side of things, these courthouses, I didn't just want to photograph the building. I wanted to photograph the building and show the character of it. I wanted to photograph the building and show it as its epicenter, as it being the epicenter, as having this sense of spirit. and having the history. It's different in Australia. Our courthouses, you go there to go to jail or to get out of jail. You know, it's or you know a civil case or whatever it might be, but it's all about the law. My understanding with the Georgia courthouses is that it's where you go to register to get married. It's where you pay your property tax. It's where you go to vote. It's a lot more community oriented. So I wanted to capture some of that.
Was there a lot of culture shock? I mean, you've been living in Metro Atlanta for how long now down at Serenby?
8 years. Mm-hmm.
But that's Atlanta. And yeah. Suddenly you find yourself in places like Waycross, Georgia, mm-hmm. even smaller communities than that in South Georgia.
A lot of it is like going to areas where people still have the time to talk to you. They have the time to find out about you. They have the time to share. And, you know, I like Atlanta, but Atlanta's like any big city in the world. A lot of the times people are just in a hurry and there's no time to really get to know people on that one-on-one basis.
Can you point to some of the courthouses you liked most?
Absolutely. The one in Cobb County, it's new, and it was a fantastic place to photograph. I managed to get up on the parking deck across from the courthouse, and I remember it was a Sunday night. There was a beautiful sunset. But and the other one is Dooley County, a place called...
Wait, let's go back to Cobb for a minute. Uh-huh. Why did that end up becoming a favorite of yours, the Cobb County shoot?
Because it was so modern, but it was so well done. It looked to me, and I'm certainly no architectural expert, even after 159 courthouses, I probably don't know the difference between neoclassical and Romanesque or statuesque or whatever those words may mean. However, I could see that a lot of care had been taken to create something that fitted with an historical feel, but still had the contemporary look to it.
What about the Dooley County Courthouse?
I loved the turrets. I loved the way the courthouse was, and all these courthouses are so. There's so much pride in them. The Dooley one was so easy to photograph, in that from any angle, it looked great. The building almost looks to me like a medieval castle style, and perhaps that's just my imagination as a photographer. But you talked about the square. One of the things I noticed and loved, and again comes back to your question about culture, was places like Colquitt, Moultrie, where the courthouse is surrounded by gorgeous little historical shops. Coffee shops, restaurants, the old hardware store, which, by the way, I just went and knocked on the door of one of the hardware stores in Trenton County. And the gentleman was amazing because I said, oh, can I get up on your roof and photograph the courthouse? He said, oh, better than that. He said, we'll get you out on the balcony and I'll bring you a cup of coffee. And, you know, it was just people were always unbelievably interested in what I was doing, incredibly hospitable and very, very accommodating.
You mentioned the squares that mm-hmm. many of these courthouses sit in. There are some counties where the square around the courthouse is still vibrant, thriving, the businesses are doing well. They are still a place where the community congregates. Mm-hmm. And then I assume you also visited counties where the downtown traditional business community has shuttered up because the big box stores have moved to outlying parts of the community. Is that right? Am I correct about that?
You're very accurate with that. And it's an incredibly sad feeling, especially after driving to the ones where the community has held on to that amazing sense of being the center of the town. And when you see the places that are not well kept and are not thriving. The courthouses is a very lonely building, and there's a sadness about the feeling of the town. You feel that the energy's been sucked out of the area. And in some places, the buildings are just so beautiful. but they're not being used, and they're running to decay. And I think that it's a different photographic feeling too. You know, you want to make an essay about the town square, not just the courthouse impression of this, the artistic impression. Do the best you can, show it in the best light. However, you know, I look back over my shoulder and, you know, there's rubbish everywhere and the buildings are shuttered up and, you know, empty bottles lying around, and et cetera. So, but not that that was a common theme. There were very few places, even when the downtown areas weren't being used as much, they were clean. There seems to be a sense of pride in these towns that permeates right throughout the South.
Greg, in the long run, your overall impression of the state of Georgia, if you had to sum up what you've learned about what Georgia is as someone who moved here from overseas, can you do that?
I can. I think Georgia is a sophisticated state. I think it's a, particularly obviously Atlanta being, I think, one of the world's great cities, great restaurants, great theater, great art scene. But to answer your question, I would say that this is a beautiful state, but the common theme was this incredible friendliness and just this ability to get into a real conversation pretty quickly.
Let's talk about some of your other work. Let's start with the Nelson Mandela photograph. How did you come to photograph Nelson Mandela?
Well, the Nelson Mandela photograph is one of my absolute favorite photographs, and it's because obviously the opportunity to meet and spend time with a man like Nelson Mandela is an extraordinary experience in anyone's life. That came about, I was on the morning shift at the newspaper, came in and looked at the diary, said 9 o'clock, Nelson Mandela interview, and it had Newington written next to it. And I thought, oh yeah, this is going to be fantastic. So it turned out that I was shooting as a pool photographer. Obviously, they didn't want the whole circus.
He
was visiting Australia, Melbourne, Australia. And I was so nervous, and I never get nervous. I very seldom get nervous taking photographs. But on the way in, I managed to take a really good picture of my foot. I was adjusting my camera. And so on the negatives, if you look at the negative strips of the shots of Mandela, the first picture is my foot. But so I introduced myself, and he was just fantastic. He, first thing he said, took one good look at me and said, oh, so I guess you play rugby. And I said, no, Australian rules football. And he said, well, with a nose like that, I can see you. You get your head down and get over the ball. And so he broke the ice straight away. But the best thing that I got out of that meeting with Mr. Mandela was the extraordinary amount of kindness and what a humble, gentle man he was. But the strength of the man too. And also his interest in people. You know, he spoke to the journalist and the TV photographer, the cinema photographer, who was there, as if we were just a couple of mates over for a coffee. First, I was told that I would have 15 minutes to photograph him, and the journalist was told that the interview would be a 25-minute time slot. But we ended up staying for well over 45 minutes, and he was in no rush to get a move on. The handlers were trying to get him moving, but you know, he had gotten talking about rugby and about Australia, and as I said, it was just like having a conversation with one of your really good mates, except you know, a very famous really good mate. You know, I've looked at that picture over and over and over again, and what I hope other people see, you know, let's not forget I was actually in the room with him, so I could also pick up on the other nuances, but what I hope people see in that is his incredible level of forgiveness. The face is, he's got a strong, kind face, but in his eyes, what I see, and hopefully what other people can see as well, is this forgiveness. Because that seemed to me the tone of the man is, well, let's not dwell on what happened. Let's acknowledge it, let's forgive it, and let's move forward.
Who is Paul, the mayor of
Glenelg? Well, you know, that's really interesting, and it's a very long story, but I'll try and keep it short. That is my brother. And my brother is called the mayor of Glenelg because...
Where is Glenelg?
Glenelg is a beachside suburb of Adelaide. And my brother suffers from schizophrenia and lives in a facility down there, which is kind of like a halfway house. And he's lived there for 15 years. And every morning he takes a bag of candy down to the tram stop and hands out candy to the people taking the tram up to the city. And every time I go back to Australia to visit, I just stick my head in any shop or any business or any dwelling on Jetty Road, which is the main road of Glenelg. And they'll say, oh, you're back. You're looking for Paul. He was here a minute ago. He's just down the road. Once I was in the process of getting a parking ticket, and the parking inspector said to me, aren't you Paul Newington's brother? And I said, yeah, I am. He said, oh, well, we can take care of this. So I call my brother the mayor of Glenelg. I mean, I'm very well known in Australia, and I'm supposed to be the famous brother, but it doesn't work that way in Glenelg, that's for sure.
It's an arresting photograph. He's standing against a brick wall. It's a black and white photograph, but you've shot him from middle distance so that he does not fill the frame. We see more of the wall than we do of him.
I was trying to show, and obviously he's my brother, so I know him extraordinarily well and how kind and good he is. I was trying to find to show the sense of isolation that he must feel at times. Even though the community embrace him, he's very happy, has a great life there. But he, like all mental illness issues and people who suffer from mental illness, they are isolated. And I wanted to show that, you know, I love my brother very much, and I wanted to show that his struggles are often done alone.
Let's talk about your photographs of Somalia.
Yeah. You know, you talk about life-changing experiences, and Somalia, I tend to get a little bit emotional speaking about Somalia sometimes.
When were you there?
91 through 93, backwards and forwards. I held the hand of a little girl dying in Somalia, and it changed a lot of things for me. Very hard. You almost felt like a voyeur sometimes with the camera, but all news people would understand what I'm actually saying is that you're caught between a rock and a hard place. You want to show what's happening, and you want the rest of the world to see images that will make them hopefully realize that, you know, you've got to do something. But on the other hand, to stick your camera in the face of a dying person, or, you know, to photograph someone being shot, or, you know, it, as a person, it depends on how strong you are, I guess, and how emotionally equipped you are to deal with that sort of thing. But it knocked me around. Somalia was hard. I struggled over there from a personal point of view.
Do you miss photojournalism?
I do. I miss it very much. However, this new challenge, and I do call it a new challenge, and you mentioned wedding photographs, they are the biggest challenge in the history of the world for me. I don't do too many, thank God. That was a brand new experience for me. Let me see, go to Bosnia again or shoot a wedding? I think I'll go to Bosnia, thanks.
Greg Newington is an Australian photojournalist who now lives in the Serenbe community in South Fulton County. If you'd like to see samples of his work, go to gpb.org, Two-Way Street, and you'll find a link to Greg's website. I'm Bill Liggett. This is Two-Way Street.